reading is taken from Matthew chapter 6, reading from verse 25 to the end of that chapter. It's called Do Not Worry. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food? And the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And do not worry about clothes. See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor. And yet, I tell you, Solomon in all his splendor was not dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This is the word of God.
Let's pray, shall we? Lord, take my lips and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you, Lord Jesus. And as we look at this passage, would you speak to us through it in the way that you want to? Amen. In Star Trek 2, during the Kobayashi Maru simulation, and that might not be the correct pronunciation, if there's any Trekkies, feel free to put me right. But during that simulation, Dr. Bones McCoy feigned his own death. And as he lay prone on the ground, our square-jawed hero, Captain James Tiberius Kirk, uttered the immortal words from Luke chapter 4 to him, "Physician, heal thyself." And when Joe told me what the topic was going to be for my first sermon here at Christchurch, that was the phrase that jumped into my mind. Because you see, I'm a worrier. I'm what my wife would probably call a stress head. I can worry about just about anything. And so when Joe said, I want you to speak on worry and stress, I thought, physician, heal thyself. Let me give you one example. Last week was Valentine's Day. Was it last week? It was Valentine's Day recently, anyway. And in the week leading up to the big event, my dear lady wife, Laura, asked me if I was going to get her a card. I replied that, of course, for the love of my life and my soulmate and my best friend and my wife, a card was the very least that I could do to recognise the eternal bond that exists between us. Isn't that sweet? And my wife said, ah, don't bother, they only go in the bin anyway, don't they? And keen to save a few quid to say spend on CDs, I took her at face value and resolved not to get her a Valentine's card. You see, and I was at work on Valentine's Day, and of course, inevitably, the subject of Valentine's Day came up amongst the waiting staff. I was actually covering at Cribbs Causeway, which is not where I normally work, so I don't know the staff particularly well. And one of the girls, Dora, one of the waitresses, said to me, have you got your wife a card? And I said, no, she told me not to bother. And she looked at me and she said, Aunt, do you know nothing about women? And I said, no, it's fine, my wife. She says what she means, my wife, and those of you that know her will know that that's true. I'm pretty sure that she doesn't want me to get her a card. She said, Dora said, no, you've got it wrong. You need to go and get her a card. And I started to worry. I started to think, well, what if she's right? What if Dora's got this right and I've completely misread the situation? You know, I've been to Marks and Spencer's. I've got a £20 meal deal, so I was pretty covered. But I thought, well, maybe I better add. So I thought, okay, what I'll do, after work, I'll go to Clinton's and I'll get a card, just in case when I get home, Laura's waiting there with a 4-foot monstrosity, happy Valentine's Day, and I've got nothing. That's going to be awful. So I'll go and get something, and I'll leave it in the car. And if she hasn't got me a card, that's fine. I can just sling it. And if she has, I can say, oh, yours is in the car. Go and get it. But then disaster struck, because I had to stay late at work, and I also had to pick up my eldest from his swimming lesson. And so I didn't have time to go to Clinton's or even the cheapo £1 card factory. I had to get in the car, and I had to go. So I drove home from work on Valentine's Day with no card for my wife. And I have never been so worried in my entire life. It was the worst car journey of my wife, thinking, what if she's right? What if I've read this? What if I've read this all wrong? And I was a bit of a cold sweat, and my collar felt tight, and I was seriously worried. We worry about all sorts of things, don't we? Our job, our family, money, relationships, clothes. The list could go on and on. And one of the things that so many people do these days to as they seek to find a way to handle, to deal with their worries, to find a way to cope with them, is, of course, to put them on Facebook. And I just did a quick Google search of Facebook statuses about worry and stress. Some are funny, some less so. And this is a few of the results that I found. When I fall down a flight of stairs, I'm not worried about if I'm hurt. I'm worried about if anybody saw. When a girl tells you not to worry about something, you better be worried about it. My dog is worried about the economy. Oh, which one are we doing? We do that one? Should I be worried that the McDonald's worker knows me by name? My dog is worried about the economy because Pedigree Chum is up to £3. That's almost £21 in dog money. I'm never worried when I wear white underwear. Now, I don't know what that means, and I'm trying not to think about it too much. I bet Wally's parents are worried sick. The good old days when all you had to worry about was sneaking out to a party and sneaking back in without getting caught. Now you can't even stay up that late. I know exactly how that feels. Mum, Dad, don't worry. Everyone failed that test. Women always worry about the things that men forget. Men always worry about the things that women remember. Like Valentine's Day cards. When I say don't worry about it, I'm good, I'm really not. But hey, don't worry about it, I'm good. Don't worry, there's plenty of other fish in the sea. That's great news for my goldfish, but what am I supposed to do? I'm actually really worried that nobody will ever fall in love with me. All sorts of things that we worry about, all sorts of things that are on our minds constantly, all kinds of things. In this passage, Jesus addresses the problem of worrying. And at first glance, I think what he says can seem quite flippant, almost dismissive. It looks like he's just saying, hey, don't worry. When I tell my boys not to do something, their response, their instant response these days, it seems, is to say, why not? And I must admit, I've fallen into that trap, that parent trap that I swore I never would, by saying to them, because I said not to. And it sometimes feels, if you look at this passage, that Jesus, that's kind of what Jesus is saying. Don't worry, because I've told you not to. Maybe he just doesn't get it. Maybe Jesus doesn't realize what a big issue worry is for us now. Maybe he just doesn't understand. I would say that's not true. Firstly, Jesus chose the Sermon on the Mount to address this issue. The Sermon on the Mount was pretty much Jesus' keynote speech, to put it into modern parlance. This was probably his largest audience. This was the big one. This is the one where he was going to address the things that really mattered. And part of the way that we know this is that Jesus sat down. Wait, what? Jesus sat down. You see, in those days when the wandering itinerant preachers, the rabbis, they would literally wander as they spoke. They would stroll around and people would literally follow them to hear what they had to say. But when they had something really important to say, they'd sit down. It was almost as though they were saying, this is when you need to listen. This is the real stuff. This is what we need to be talking about. This is what we need to be focusing on. So Jesus sat down. The word worry comes from the old English word wergan, and now I don't know if that's the correct pronunciation either, but that word wergan means to strangle. That in terms comes from all sorts of different, I won't go into it all, but the word roots of West Germanic words and Middle Dutch words, and they're all wergen and wergin and all sorts of things like that, but they all have the same sort of root. All of those very similar words mean to strangle. And added to that, the old Norse word Virgil means rope. So that oldest sense of the word wergan was obsolete in English after about 1600, but the word remained with a slightly altered meaning, which was to annoy or bother or vex. And then it grew on from there as well to mean harassed by rough or severe treatment, like with dogs or wolves attacking sheep. The wolves were worrying the sheep. The meaning to cause mental distress or trouble, which is probably the closest to what we understand it to be now, is recorded from about 1822. And then we also have to feel anxiety or mental trouble, first recorded in 1860. Now, I like words, and perhaps that doesn't do it for you in the way it does for me, but I think that that link with the word strangling is quite important. I think it's quite interesting. Do you remember when I was telling the story of the Valentine's Day card and the drive home, and I said my collar felt tight? And nobody thought that sounded out of turn, did they? Because we've all experienced that sort of feeling. We've all been there when it's that sort of tightness in our throats. The feeling that it's got us by the neck like a wolf worrying a sheep. It won't let go until every last bit of life has been sapped from us. Just like in Jesus' parable of the sower, where the weeds came up and strangled the life out of the new shoots. And Jesus describes those weeds as the cares of this world. That's exactly what he means. Those worries that throttle us. They stop us growing into all that we can be. In the passage that Pearl read for us, Jesus asks, can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to his life? And in the footnotes of my Bible, it suggests that Jesus may also have added, or a single cubit to his height. So we have, can any one of you by worrying add a single hour to his life or a single cubit to his height? And we can't. We can't, can we? It's a complete waste of time. And in a sense, I think, you can take Jesus' words to their natural conclusion. Because you can say, yes, we can't add a single hour to our lives by worrying, but possibly the opposite is true. And now that could be medically, because worrying can cause all sorts of medical things that can actually physically shorten your life. Heart problems, all sorts of things, all the things we turn to deal with our worries and stresses, they can take off of our lives as well. But even metaphorically, if you spend an hour worrying about something, that's an hour you can never get back. That's an hour of your life wasted. And so in a sense, metaphorically, our lives are shortened as well. And also, who can add a single cubit or centimetre or whatever to their height? Well, you can't by worrying. But actually, the reverse is true there as well, isn't it? Because you've heard the phrase, he looks like he's got the weight of the world on his shoulders. And if you see somebody that's worrying physically, they start to hunch. You can see the weight that's on their shoulders. So perhaps we take it to its natural conclusion, and that is true. So worrying makes life shorter. And by the way, and in case you were worried, now I was right. Laura hadn't bought me a card. So Jesus says, don't worry. And it seems like a great ideal, but how? How on earth are we supposed to not worry? It's really easy to say, isn't it? Don't worry. Don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. Don't worry about it. I've got a friend at work who's having a tough time at work and at home. She's not a Christian. I've told her I'm praying for her. But it's really hard to know what to say to her. And I've said, try not to worry about it. And she says, well, that's easier said than done. And she's right. It is. A lot easier said than done. These are Guatemalan worry dolls. Has anybody come across Guatemalan worry dolls before? Okay. They're very cute. Want to have a little look at them. There you go. There's one. Pass and have a little look at them. These are really cheap to make. They're really quite cute little things. They're really popular as well. Lots of parents, I think, use these with their children when their children are worried about something. And the idea of these Guatemalan worry dolls is that you tell them your concerns, you tell them your worries at night, and then you pop them under your pillow. And during the night, the worry dolls will take them away. That in the morning, you'll wake up and your worries will miraculously have disappeared. There'll be nothing left. And some parents, I think, like the tooth fairy, they take the doll out from under their child's pillow at the end of the night. Okay? So that's what these are. And as I say, they're really popular. Lots of people buy them because lots of people are worried about stuff. Some make them with their children and some use them like that. But we have something better than that. We have something so much more powerful, something so much better than Guatemalan worry dolls, because we've got this. This is a holding cross, but that's not what's important. The fact that it's a cross is what's important. We've got something so much more powerful. The Sermon on the Mount is all about the things that are of the kingdom and the things that aren't. Last week, Rich preached quite brilliantly, I thought, on murder and adultery and the link to anger and lust. And those are not kingdom things. Rich encouraged us to grasp hold of all that is of the kingdom and reject those things that aren't, just as Jesus encourages us to in the Sermon on the Mount. When Jesus hung on that cross and died and rose from the dead, he defeated all the things that aren't part of God's kingdom. That includes adultery, murder, lust, anger, and worry, and stress. Jesus has taken care of our worries on the cross, which is why he can say to us today, don't worry. He's not being simplistic. He's not being dismissive at all. He's saying, God loves you, so he'll clothe you. God loves you, so he'll feed you. Don't worry. It's taken care of. Step into the fullness of life that's on offer. Your worries were crucified with Jesus on the cross. Now, I'm not saying that there isn't something cathartic about telling your concerns to worry dolls and that psychologically they may work in some way, but I am saying this. As children of God, as Christians, we don't have to rely on tenuous folklore or magic like this or other ways that people cope with worries and stresses like alcohol, drug abuse, all those different things. We don't have to rely on that because we have something much better. We have the power of Christ crucified on the cross. And we can go to the foot of the cross and we can lay our burdens down, we can lay our stresses down, and we can know that Jesus has dealt with them, because they're not from the kingdom. They're dealt with. Jesus dealt with them on the cross. So we're going to do that now. I'm going to invite the worship group to come up. Oh, there they are. And as they play, in your pew you'll find a piece of paper and a pen. There might be some spares knocking around if you haven't got one. But what I'd like to do is that as the group play to us, on that piece of paper, and be as honest as you dare to be, write down the things that are worrying you, the things that you're stressed out about, the things that are scaring you. And as the group play, we're going to literally come up to the front and lay those stresses, lay those worries, lay those concerns at the foot of the cross, because Jesus has dealt with them. Thank you that you know what it is to worry. We thank you that you know what a big deal that it is for us. Help us to let go of those worries, our stresses, our concerns, all the things that are not a part of your kingdom, to hand them to Jesus on the cross in the knowledge that he's dealt with them. And may we know the freedom of a worry-free life through the power of the cross. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And Ken is going to come and lead us in our prayers.